Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be back with you today. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. And I'm not going to read, there's a lot of scripture, but I am going to be referencing through some of this. But I do want to read this morning verses 36 through 38. So that's what I want to concentrate on. So if you would, when you get to verses 36 and 38, if you're able, I would like to ask you to stand as I read that part of God's Word. 1 Kings 18, I'm going to read 36 through 38. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, or the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Dear God, we just come to you, Lord, and we just thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we know from this reading this morning that you are God. You are mighty and you are powerful. And we know, God, that you can do anything. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you have blessed our lives with. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let everything come from your Holy Spirit, nothing from my flesh, nothing from my thoughts or my own words, but God, let it all be you, Father. And we give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, I do want to back up a little bit. This sermon is called God's Supernatural Power. And one thing that we have to have in our lives is we have to have God's supernatural power at work in us. It takes God's supernatural power in order for things to happen. And back in the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, we see that Elijah, starting, it's around verse 20, that the whole story starts to unfold. Elijah goes upon Mount Carmel, and he is going up against 450 prophets of Baal. Now, I want you to take notice of this. There's one Elijah, and there's 450 prophets of Baal. So the numbers were definitely quite, you know, on one side. And here's Elijah by himself. And I want to stress this for just a moment, because sometimes we as Christians think that just because there's only one of us, that maybe we're not as effective. And I want you to know, but when we go through this today, that God working in your life, God can take you as one person and he can do great and mighty things through you, but you have to be willing. And I know that by this scripture text in 1 Kings, I know that Elijah was very willing. I know that Elijah had a heart for God. He was a man who obeyed the word. He followed everything that God told him to do to a T. So here they are up on the Mount Carmel, and Elijah throws out a challenge to the prophets of Baal, and he says, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to set up an offering. We're going to take up a bull, and we're going to cut it up into pieces, and we're going to prepare an altar, and then you guys call out to your god Baal, and then I'm going to do the same thing, and then I'm going to call out to the Lord God. And then whoever answers first, then that's who we're going to consider as God. Now, Elijah already knew what was going to happen. So the Bible says that the prophets of Baal, they set their altar up. They had it all ready to go. And in verse 26, it says, they took the bull, which was given to them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Okay, now we don't know what time of the morning, but I'm going to guess it was pretty early of a morning. So for quite a few hours, 450 prophets of Baal are calling out to a false god. And they were saying, "Oh Baal, hear us." But no voice ever responded back. There was no action. There was no turn of events taking place for them crying out to Baal. They leaped about the altar which they had made. And then at noon, it says, Elijah started to mock them. Now, I would have loved to have been there. I don't know about you, but I probably would have been laughing at Elijah, because Elijah's up there making fun of them. Now, I don't think God wants us to go around making fun of people, because it's not showing love to those that are in need of Christ. But Elijah's up there and he's saying, well, where's your God? You know, maybe he's gone to lunch. Maybe you need to shout just a little louder. Maybe you need to do a little bit more. So the prophets of Baal, they started crying out aloud, and then they took their swords and started to cut themselves, which the Bible says here was a part of their custom. Now, I don't know about you, but I just don't think I would want to take a sword and start cutting my skin open. That's just kind of senseless. And then the blood started to gush out of them. That's a scene I wouldn't want to look at. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. All the way, all day long, they cried out and cried out and cried out, shouted to Baal, no answer. And why? Because in their mind, they were deceived by the devil. See, that's what happened back in the days of the Bible. From the moment Satan was kicked out of heaven, Satan has been given the job to basically deceive the world. He wants to try to take us away from God. He will plant lies into our head, and he will try to place other things in us to worship than God. See, Satan doesn't want you and I to be close to God. So he will bring something about to you. And what it is today, there's a lot of false religions. There are so many people today who are serving false gods. And do you know how many of us Christians, how much of an impact we could make on this world right now? If we would be like Elijah, and if we would go out to somebody we know who doesn't know Jesus Christ, and through the love of God, witness to them and show them the love that can change the heart of any man or woman. I want to share a quick story with you this morning. There was a truck driver that had gone to a truck stop, and he was a Christian man, and he had Jesus, stuff wrote on his trailer, Bible verses, and he saw a motorcycle guy pull up, and the guy had leather, had tattoos, and had a big beard and gruff. He was muscular, big, I think he said like 6'4", 6'5", and just muscle bound, and said he looked mean. Said he looked like the devil. And he said that he had taken a cassette tape and stuck it in that man's motorcycle. And that man saw him as he was walking away from his bike and come back over. And anyway, a little bit of argument ensued. And the guy says, "Look, I just wanted to tell you Jesus loves you and I'm on my way." So and this is a true story too, I'm giving you. So the man on the motorcycle decided while he's going down the road, he pushed that tape in. He didn't know what it was. And there was a preacher on there that was preaching about the love of God. And he didn't want to hear it. And now this is the man, I got this testimony from a friend who heard this. And this guy gave his testimony about what happened. He said, I pushed the button and could not eject the tape because I didn't want to hear about God. I didn't want to hear about the love. I didn't want to listen to it. And the tape would not eject out, and it kept playing. He said, I tried to turn the volume off, and the volume knob was not working. I couldn't turn it off. So as he listened to it, it started to get a hold of his heart. And he said that he pulled his motorcycle off. He saw this little bitty church, and he pulled into the parking lot, and he went up, and the door was unlocked. And he said he went in there and started going, hey, hey, is there anybody here? And the little preacher, little gentleman, come out, saw how he looked, and said the preacher almost tried to run and hide from him. He says, oh, no, you get back up here now. I want to talk to you. And said that preacher come out there just a shaking. And he said he literally had to pick the preacher up and put him out on the pew to make him talk to him. He was so scared of him. And he said, I want you to tell me about this Jesus and what he's all about. And the preacher did just that. And that big old 6'4" or 6'5" framed biker of a man accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior on the front pew of that church, jumped up crying, picked that preacher up and gave him a big old bear hug and just was kind of going side to side with him and set him back down, said the preacher took off running because he was still scared. But that man got on his bike and he went back home and he tore through the front door of the house. And his wife, he started yelling her name. And see, what he had done, he used to beat his wife. And she took off running because she thought she was in for another beating. And he said he went back there and he said all he did was he picked her up, held her over the shoulder, walked out the front door, put her on the motorcycle and said, you're going with me. And said they went back down the highway and went back to that church, pulled up, went inside, and he carried his wife in, set her on the front pew, and says, now, preacher, get out here. Now. He said, I want you to come out here. And that preacher come back out. He says, I want you to tell my wife exactly what you shared with me. And he did. And that man's wife broke down in tears, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And to this day, and I hear reports from my friend Matt, this guy's nickname was Tiny. Him and his wife have started a motorcycle ministry, and the two of them together have been riding all across the United States of America telling people about Jesus Christ, and there are bikers in some of the most notorious biker gangs have been receiving Christ as Lord and Savior and having their lives changed. So see, all it takes is one person. And this is what Elijah was doing. So Elijah, as we go on into chapter 18, Elijah's making a stand for God. So he makes up his altar, he prepares it, and here's I told Janine the other day, I said, I think that Elijah was adding a little bit of salt to the wound because he had the men take four big clay pots. I don't know if any of you have ever seen pictures of the water pots they used in the days of the Bible, but those pots were about that tall and so big around. We saw them on the Ark encounter over in Kentucky, and they're big. And he had four of those jars filled, and they dumped water on the altar. So much water that they had dug a trench and the water had filled the trench and was running over. So then I've already read in the scripture where Elijah called out to God and said, you know, God, just hear our prayer and answer us. And with fire from heaven, God consumed that altar, and the people, after that experience happened, bowed down and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." So see, supernatural power of God is what it takes to make changes in our lives and to make changes within our church. It takes God's supernatural power to change a sinner to a saint. And I done shared that story with you about this motorcycle guy called Tiny, how he came to know Jesus Christ because God's power got a hold of his life. You and I can go out and witness and minister to people, but it's not us that makes somebody get saved. What we do is we plant the seed when we tell somebody about Jesus, and when that seed has been planted, we have to give it to God, and we have to ask God to take care of that seed for God to water it and let it manifest in that person's life. And God is the one who works on the heart of the individual, and we can pray for them that God draws their heart to them. Now, God gave you and I our own thinking. He gave us our own ways of doing things. It's called a free will. And it's our will who we follow and who we choose to serve in this life. So God doesn't make us accept Jesus Christ. He can pull our hearts to Him, but ultimately the decision is up to us to receive Him. The Holy Spirit of God looks beyond the debris and the sin that's within our life. Do you know how much yuck is in you before you come to know Christ? I mean, there's a lot of filth there. But God is not looking at the filth in your life. You know what God looks at? God looks at your life and He looks past the mistakes. He looks past the things you said, how you acted. And what God sees a heart, a vessel, and a life that was cleansed by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The blood that was shed on Calvary, that's how God sees us, and that's how we need to start looking at people. We need to be the kind of people that we go after the sinners and that we go after them with love. And we have to ask God to let His supernatural power be at work in our life so that we can be an effective witness. If we go on our own, we're going to stumble and fall. And I'm telling you, God gave us a job. I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, I don't know what God's will is for my life." Well, you better go back and read the Bible, because God's will for our life is to receive Christ as Lord and Savior and then go be fishers of men and make disciples of people. And our will is to serve God and to serve Him with a grateful and an abundant heart. So every church person should be out there being a prayer warrior, should be being someone who preaches the Word of God. You don't have to stand in a pulpit, but you can go to somebody and you can share the love of Jesus. And if you let God go before you, I'm telling you, the most exciting things can happen. Many years back, I sat one day in the living room. We went to see Janine's mom and dad. Janine's mom wasn't a Christian, and they've been praying a lot of years for her to get saved. And I did. I've been praying, and I knew the opportunity was there, and I witnessed to her, and she wouldn't listen to me. She looked away from me. And I said, "You know what, Lord? She's yours. I can't do anything about it." And some years later, fast forward about maybe 10 years or so, I happened to be in Carbondale one morning, and God spoke to my heart and said, "Call Donnie Colson. He's a preacher friend of mine. He's about 86 years old, and he's a spitfire boy. Is he a lover? He loves people." So I called Donnie Colson and said, "Donnie, my mother-in-law is in the bounce back rehab. Would you please go see her? She needs Jesus." And I was crying when I talked to him. And that was on a Tuesday morning. Wednesday evening, Donnie Colson went and saw her, went, took her to her room, and talked to her about Jesus, and she got saved. And later that year, on Thanksgiving morning, as we were at her bedside, and she passed from this life, my mother-in-law stepped into the glories of heaven. And she's there now with my father-in-law. And she's experiencing some of the most beautiful. I can't even express what heaven's like because I've never seen it. And my mind can't conceive it. But I'm telling you what. God's supernatural power that day got a hold of her life. And she came to know Christ. Next. God's supernatural power can change servants. He can make us his servants. He can take a weak Christian and make him a strong Christian. Now I want you to know, if you feel like that you can't witness or you're not able to get out when you ask God to do something, I'm going to tell you right now, be prepared. When you ask God for something in prayer, he's going to do it. I told you last week, I couldn't talk in front of people. I didn't like people before I got saved. I couldn't say boo in front of a crowd. I'd get nervous. But I remember the first Sunday I ever preached, I did. My knees was knocking. Sounded like a woodpecker on an oak tree. My knees was knocking so hard. But I said, God, I'm afraid. Please take this fear away. If you're wanting me to really preach, I answered the call. You've got to make me bold. Guess what happened? He made me bold. And bold I am. I don't hold back. I just don't. This word says what it says. And from Genesis to Revelations, it's the power of God. It's truth. It's life-changing. But he can take anybody and make them a servant. I mean, my wife and I go out, and she's gone with me to go visit people, and I've seen God work through her and just touch people's life. And you know, I love that. So it doesn't matter who you are. Every church member should be saying, God, what other will for me? I know what my will is from you to be a witness and to lead others to Christ. But what else do you want me to do? What capacities do you want me to serve in my church? You know, I love it when we walk in here, everybody is already, you know, doing something what God's led them to do. It's wonderful to see somebody at the door handing out a bulletin and to shake a hand and say good morning. And it's wonderful. And your job just may be to smile at those coming in. You maybe not stand at the front door, or maybe to take up the offering, or to run the sound, or to be a cook, or do flower arrangements, whatever it may be. Go and mow in somebody's grass. God can take you and make you the most powerful servant. Look what he did with the disciples. Look what he did with Paul, and look what he did with Peter. And you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the servants they stood before a mighty king, and they said, you can throw us into that fiery furnace, but I'm telling you, our God's with us. And it doesn't matter what happens, either God's going to save us, or if we perish in that fire, we're going to go be with him. And they were thrown into the fire, and that king looked inside that. He says, didn't we throw three men in there? And they're like, yes, king. He says, well, I see four in there. One is like the Son of God, and they're all unbound, and they're loose, and they're not even hurt. And the king brought them out of the fire. Not a hair on their head was singed. So when you want to be a mighty servant for God, he can take your life, and he can take you to heights you never thought possible. I've gotten the opportunity to go into a gang neighborhood in the middle of East St. Louis. A pastor invited me to come there. And I had someone ask me, they said, are you crazy? And I said, no, I'm called. And they said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, You know, God allowed that to happen. The pastor asked me to come there and preach to his church, 15th Street Baptist Church. You guys know where that is? Well, amen. And I tell you what, when I arrived there, I was the only light-skinned fella. And I was driving down the street, and I saw men with guns in their waistband, and I just waved at them. But see, I went in the name of the Lord. I didn't go under my own power. I asked for God's protection. And I went to that church, and I'm telling you, the entire service, I worship with those folks, love them. And I got so many hugs, and we cried, and God did a miracle that day. You know what God did in me that day? God took me to a place I never thought I would go preach before, in an area that I never thought I would be by myself in. And the Lord showed His glory all around, and people were coming up to me after the service, and they were going, "Wow, that was awesome." And I said, "Well, you thank God for that. Don't tell me how great of a preacher I am or anything. You give all the credit and the glory to God, because that's where it belongs. God can take this empty vessel and God can fill us. You know, sometimes we do. We feel so empty, and maybe we feel so useless at times, and we're thinking about what we had done. Well, remember, your had-dones and your has-beens are in the past. What you need to do today is you need to say, "Lord, I need your supernatural power at work in my life today. There's things I'm facing. There's things I've been going through. There are people I need to tell Jesus about, but I just don't know how to go about doing it." When you ask Him to do that and you just get rid of everything in your life and you say, "Lord, fill me. I'm your vessel. I'm here to do your work." God is going to answer your prayer, and God is going to fill you with His anointing and with His power, and God's going to start sending you out where He wants you to go. And you know why? Because God is the one who sets up situations. And God sets up the day and the time. Have you ever sat and worried about something happening? You wish you could make it happen faster because you think of an outcome. But really, God's the one who's got the final word on that situation. So if Elijah was one person going up against 450 prophets of Baal, and just this one guy calls out to the real God, our Heavenly Father, God answered him from heaven. So one person against 450, there were some odds there, but God is greater than any odds. God is greater than anything. It doesn't matter what you look like, where you're from, who you are. God can take you and do the most incredible things, but you have got to be willing to let Him do it. And lastly, God can take a dead church and God can make it an alive church. I want you to know right now, in the United States of America, there are a lot of churches that have closed their doors because people have decided, they've looked at themselves and said, "There's not enough here to keep it going. We're just going to shut it down." And there are so many churches right now that have closed the doors where once was singing and praise being lifted up to God. Now there's empty seats and there's nothing happening in those pulpits. And there's some churches that are struggling. There are some churches who are just kind of going through the motions Sunday after Sunday. And they're wishing, "I wish we could have just a little bit of change." Well, if we as God's people would come into His house expecting great things to happen in a church service, if we would love those around us, like I told you last Sunday, I love all of you. I've met some of you this morning. You're thinking, "Well, how could you love me?" Well, the love of Christ is inside of me. And God says, if I love Him, then I need to love everyone else around me. And that's what I want to do. Love people around me. So when I come into a church house, whether I'm preaching or just going to visit, whatever, I make sure I go up to people and shake their hand and let them know my name, where I'm from, and that they're special. But I come to church expecting God to move in mighty ways. And we need to get to a place and a point right now. We need to get serious because Jesus is coming back. And we as his church don't need to be sitting by letting people die and go to hell. There are so many people in this world that need Jesus. And we have got to be the ones to take a stand and call them and go visit them. There's people laying in hospital beds who are dying and may not know Jesus. But all it would take is for one of us to go to that person, or maybe go to a nursing home, or to a shut-in, or to a friend's house, or a family member, and sit down with the Word of God, and pray, and seek His direction, and then start sharing this Word with them. Because once we start spreading the Word of God, that Word goes out mightily and boldly, and it does not return void. When seeds are planted, seeds will grow. One thing I just got to share this. This, what I think is so supernatural of God, is we've got a farm. We got farmland behind us, and every year that farmer will plant either corn or he'll plant beans, whatever depends what he had planted the year before. Well, this past spring last year, they went out and planted corn. How many of you have seen how big a corn seed is? Yeah. Well, you know, corn seed's about yay big. And those big machines, man, behind them tractors, they plant and put that in the ground. And you know, the farmer doesn't stand there and go, come on, hurry up, grow. The farmer knows that it takes time. See, it's got to rain, and there has to be sunlight. And what happens is the seed is absorbing the nutrients from the soil. And it's absorbing the nutrients from the rain and the sunlight. All of that is getting down into the ground to that seed. And that seed soaks it up. And you know what it makes that seed? It makes that seed stronger. And when that seed starts its growing process, it starts to grow its way up out of the ground. And if you've ever seen corn, I was amazed. It comes up a little green sprout with a couple little leaves. And then over the next few months, next thing I know, there's corn growing that's about 6 to 7 foot tall. And it's got these big ears of corn on it. And when they tossle out, I mean, you've got vibrant corn growing, and there's a big, tough stalk about so big around, and it took a time and a process for that to happen. And see, when we go and plant a seed in someone's life, or a seed is planted in our life, we can't rush it to happen. We have got to let time take its course, God's time. We get into the Word of God. This is our rain. This is our sunlight. And when we plant ourselves in God's soil, in God's Word, and once we start to absorb it, things happen in our life, and we are changed, and a process has begun, and we will start to grow. And when we grow, we will grow tall and strong like that corn. I have watched tall stalks of corn growing and blow in the wind. And I've seen some pretty strong winds blow and that corn go back and forth like this. And when the wind stops blowing, that corn is back straight up and down. And I'm saying this because if you are strong and mighty in God, when the winds start blowing in your life, When the pressures and the problems happen, you're going to be bent one direction or the other. But if you are rooted in this word, if God's supernatural power is at work in your life, when that wind quits blowing, when that storm has been stilled, you will still be standing strong and tall. It doesn't matter what comes your way. When you are rooted in God, when you are, even if you have to stand as the only person, God is there with you. So, as Elijah faced these people, these false prophets. Now, Elijah could have run and hid into a cave and said, "Ha, I ain't doing that, God. There's 450 people up there. They'd want to kill me." He could have given in to fear, but he did not. He didn't cave into his fear. He let God's supernatural power work in his life. When David stood before the giant Goliath, David was a young shepherd boy. He didn't have no battle experience. And here's mighty Goliath with this big shield and this sword, 10 foot tall, muscular, big. Everybody feared him in the land. But David was not looking at the giant Goliath when he went to go fight him. What David was seeing the victory that God was about to bring. God was seeing the power, or David was seeing the power of God at work in his life. And he took that little sling and put in a stone, and he gave that sling a twirl and let that rock go. And God is the one who brought the giant down. God's power brought the giant down. So see, God can bring down any giant in your life. But you have got to be the one who says, "I'm not going to run away in fear, but I'm going to face this thing head on." We all face something each day. But when we get up and plant our feet on the ground, are we thanking God for what He's given us? Are we thanking God for where He's going to take us? Are we thanking God that He's already got the problem took care of? We may not see it just yet, but I can guarantee you this. With God's supernatural power at work in your life, anything is possible.